It might seem fruitless or even wrong to try to change the behaviour of a loved one or housemate, but according to our next guest, it can and should be done. Author and life coach Jamin Fraser says he's improved the quality of his own marriage using leverage and has examples from a lifetime of working with others to do the same. He joins me to discuss. Welcome, Jamin.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So tell us more about this phenomenon of leverage.
Look, it is a bit of an abrasive title, and I remember the editor of the book, when she saw that title and she didn't know any of my work, she said to me, "I didn't like you, Jamin, I didn't like this title, it was too confronting," because, you know, the old adage, don't try and change the one you love, is the pre-accepted wisdom.
Yes.
But I think that's actually the worst relationship advice ever given.
Ah.
Because if you actually don't find a way to improve the person you love and to deal with dysfunction and annoying traits and insecurities and things that actually annoy you, well, the space between you gets polluted and you deteriorate. The quality of your relationship deteriorates. It doesn't stay good if you don't work on it. So I think it's not only appropriate, it's essential to keep fighting for improvement, to be the best version of you and to demand that those you love actually level up as well for the sake of the quality of your relationship.
Yeah, so you have researched this quite in depth, but it's something that you have very personal experience with as well. Tell us about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, the research is interesting. LG Electronics did a study. I don't know why they were the ones that commissioned this research, but they surveyed 2,000 couples in the UK and they found that one in three couples wake up beside the most annoying person they know, which is hilarious because, of course, those relationships didn't start like that. Like, you don't go looking for an annoying person. You go looking for an attractive person. But if you don't find a way to address annoying stuff, then it becomes very catastrophic. So my work as a coach over the last 12 years, I would say every single client I've ever had has had some kind of relationship pain. Their relationship with their kids or their relationship with their partner or their friends or their work colleagues or their boss, stuff has come between them and they don't know what to do and they assume that's just natural and how it is and they can't fix it. So then they suffer. But it's unnecessary suffering. I'm convinced there's solvable problems and important problems to solve. So it's kind of been my life's work to think about that intelligently. You know, and being married 23 years myself, father of two, I'm non-negotiable about smoking what I'm selling, and all the stuff that I speak about is first road test and embodied my own experience first. So, yeah, out of the overflow of thinking about how to keep the space clean between the people I love, these are the things that have worked for me and what I've learned, and then how I've helped clients over the years address dysfunction and pain in their relationships too.
So give us some examples. There's lots of ways that your partner can annoy you. How can you turn that around?
I think probably my favourite line in the whole book is to be clear or be quiet. So I think lots of times couples would feel like they do address annoying habits, but they actually address it by nagging or complaining. Mm. And it's kind of weird because it sounds really clear. Don't do that. I hate when you do that. Would you stop doing that? But there's never any consequences other than the pain of nagging and the bluff of, if you do that again, I'm going to... There's never any follow through. It's the same with kids. You know, they learn very quickly that you say, eat your broccoli, you won't get dessert. If they work out they don't actually have to eat their broccoli and they still get dessert, they're smart enough to just play the game properly and not eat the broccoli and get what they want. So this discovery around what does matter to you, what is important. If your partner leaving their shoes in front of the door every day annoys you, well, be clear about that. But also be clear about why it's important to you and what will happen if it continues.
And what could that threat be?
Oh, look, you know, people often think, oh, my goodness, that's catastrophic. What, are you going to divorce because your partner leaves their clothes on the floor? No, you've got 1,000 things you could use as leverage. If you're in a long-term relationship with someone you love, there's all manner of things you could withhold or use to escalate the situation. You know, my wife and I just value when one of us comes home that we greet each other with love in our eyes. It's a really important thing to me. So if Catherine's asked me to do something and I said, yeah, I'll do it, and I haven't done it and it's annoyed her, there's just ice in her eyes. That's all she does. She just withholds love in her eyes, a loving look, and I just go, I'm not prepared to live without that interaction. So, yeah, that thing I said I was going to do that I haven't got around to doing that isn't a priority to me, but clearly is a priority to her. I'm a smart guy. I can work out how to pick up my clothes. I can change, because if I don't, it's going to cost me and I'm going to suffer. So if you can kind of gamify it and bring some skill to the game, it's extraordinary how you can deal with the little things and let them not become big things.
With us at the moment is life coach and author of Leverage, How to Change the People You Love, Jamin Fraser. I suppose it requires a bit of an effort on both parties and a certain level of emotional intelligence as well. Do you recommend a discussion with your partner about this very philosophy, or just get stuck in?
That's a really good question. I think in all my years of working with people who are in relationship pain, two people are never ready to change at the same time. You know, people have different levels of pain tolerance, different desires, different expectations. And someone has to go first, whether their partner is ready or not. And often they're not ready. Often they're not prepared to have the conversation. They don't think it's important. But if it's important to you, and you do come from a place of security, knowing that you're delightful, they're lucky to have you, you do deserve to be treated well, and you're getting less than you desire and deserve, then you begin a process of improving that, addressing that, demanding that it be changed. So I don't think it requires you have to wait for a certain level of emotional intelligence or readiness. You escalate because it's important to you when it is important to you.
What about if it's petty or if it's something that genuinely someone can't change?
Well, I don't think there's anything someone can't change. You know, people often think behaviour is really tied to identity, but behaviour is simply an attempt to meet needs and protect fears. I'm in the personal change space, so I watch people make dramatic change every day of my life. It's natural when you understand the mechanics of it. So I think you can change anything if you have enough motivation. The point of what if it's petty? It's always petty. Like, we're not talking about dramatic, huge things here. We're talking about little things. The things that create maximum level annoyance are all little things. Their rudeness, their messiness, their snoring, their burping, their farting, they are petty. But because there's no way of addressing the pettiness, it becomes repulsive and unattractive. So I think that it's really useful to think about that, to go, if it matters to you, if you're in this relationship because you want to be, not because you have to be, and you deserve to be treated lovely and taken care of, well, then that's not going to be okay. Then a person can actually do better than that. If they don't need to, if there's no consequences for their bad behaviour, well, then they won't, of course. Mm. You know, that's human behaviour. Give them a reason to do better.
And just lastly, how can we apply this in the workplace and get what we want?
Well, this is applicable to every relationship. My background and other books I've written have been all about insecurity, and the business I operate under is called The Insecurity Project. And I think that is the place to begin in all leverage. If you come to any interaction needy and desperate, then you've only ever got bluff. The starting point, if you want to negotiate and navigate a better space and more of what you deserve, you have to know that you deserve. If you haven't done the work around who are you, what are you worth, what does it mean to be you, then don't bother. It'll go badly for you. So in the workplace, to go, what are my skills? What is my value? What am I doing in this place? Are they lucky to have me here, or am I here on their good graces? So to come feeling like you are the prize, that this is not your only option, that if they don't improve, then they lose you. You've got leverage. That's all off the back of your own sense of personal security.
Absolutely. We just need that confidence. Start looking at your life and thinking about what's great, what you've got going on, and give yourself that confidence so you can have that leverage, hey?
Exactly right.
Hey, thanks so much. Really lovely to talk to you today, Jamin Fraser.
Thanks for having me, Jen.